Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys, Dan and Cass. Go Bucks.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. Huge win for Ohio State on the road against Indiana. My Lord, Cass, what an absolute massacre that was. I was not expecting a 54-7 victory by the Buckeyes. It feels good, though. I mean, Indiana talked smack for a whole offseason, and they got the beatdown, man.
And to say the least. Just a great all-around performance by the Buckeyes. That there's nothing we can really sit here and say what they did wrong. I mean, first drives are first drives. Say what you want, you know. But, I mean, that game in the rain, too, just there was not one flaw the Buckeyes had Saturday. And it was just phenomenal to see. And great team victory. Again, C.J. Stroud won Freshman of the Week. Dude's getting better and better. In a rain monsoon, and he's still throwing crisp passes. Insane. Olave's going to break David Boston's record within the next two or three games.
Yeah.
Travion Henderson's going to beat Maurice Clarett's record. Just, we're going to start seeing Travion Henderson get more touches. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's getting under 10 touches, and he's still averaging like 10 yards a carry, and he's averaging like two touchdowns a game. The dude's a monster. The offensive line's just a beast. The defense is just coming together and getting better every year. Even Tommy Eichenberg laid the wood on somebody over the weekend.
Defense was unreal. We'll get into that in a second.
I mean, Ronnie Hickman probably had his worst game of the season.
He did.
And the Buckeyes defense just got so much better. It is just insane.
I agree. Like Cody Simon and Hickman didn't have a great first drive. If you go back, kind of watch the film, you'll see one of the plays, Hickman was out of position on the pass play. You could see he was a little confused. He first backed up, then went in. He didn't know really what to read there. And then Simon gave up a couple big passes that gave up the touchdown pass. I mean, I thought, though, Cass, the defensive line played out of their mind, even on the first drive. Five sacks on the day. It felt like they
could
were
have been seven.
Yeah. It felt like they were always getting pressure on the quarterback. I'm shocked we did not force a single turnover, like an interception from Indiana. That really caught me by surprise. Also, though, they didn't really throw it much. They threw it 17 times, only completed 8 of them. Who really stood out to me, though, was – Court Williams, that hit he had. I know Steel. Well, first I gotta preface it with Steel Chambers played great. He was our best linebacker, I think, that day. But him basically, you know, making contact behind the line of scrimmage, blowing that play up, basically lining it up so Court Williams could have a shot on that guy for a tackle for loss, start the second half. I thought that was defensive play in the game, or the Zach Harrison sack where he looked like he lost outside contain and then came over and gave him a quick karate chop. It was really athletic play by Harrison, but man, overall outside the first drive where it was honestly our linebackers just making a wrong read or two, the defense played fantastic, and I had no complaints about the defense. Offensively, Travion Henderson, man, is the best player in college football, I think. He had three touchdowns on like what, 10, maybe 10 total touches. I really think he's so dang efficient, Cass. It's hurting him for the Heisman because every time he gets the ball, he scores. He's not going to get all these yards and all these stats padded because he's scoring so dang quickly and these games are getting out of reach that we don't even need to use him. So, I mean, I thought Travion Henderson had a day. Two young guys that stood out to me too were Marvin Harrison Jr., the safety, obviously. Then he broke some ankles on that catch. He's really, you know, looks like he might be the receiver that's going to flash soon. Emeka Abuka continues to make strides. He looked great. And finally, Cass, our boy Joe Royer had a catch. Actually, I have two more guys I got to shout out to. Evan Pryor looks like he's going to be the running back of the future. Well, along with Trey Don Henderson. But maybe. He looks like he could be a future, at least his junior and senior season. You know Evan Pryor is going to pop off. He looked like he could really, like, handle the load. And then finally, man, I got to give a shout-out to Chris Booker. He's a young wide receiver, but he made a really, really good catch in the fourth quarter in the rain, coming back to the sideline, heavily defended. It was a really nice play. That really stood out to me. But
my shout-out goes to Marvin Harrison Jr. for making two defenders tackle each other.
Mm-hmm.
In the juke, so.
I mean, the young guys played fantastic. Like you mentioned, Stroud was on point. Obviously, the three amigos, Wilson, Smith and Jigba, Olave, great day. No complaints. Like, I had no complaints about that game. Just it was almost a picture perfect day, other than the touchdown they gave up on the first drive.
And it was boring.
It was.
It was a boring, dominant victory by the Buckeyes. I mean, I know a lot of people who enjoy it, but I mean, I enjoyed it. It's just there was no excitement in it. I think the rain and the announcers, Dave Pasch and the other guys, they suck. I'm sorry. They're terrible. And it was just awful. Like, but I mean, Marvin Harrison, I think he looks like Ben Victor out there, a young Ben Victor. Might, no offense, he might be a little bit better than Ben Victor. Anyways. But it was a dominant win. I mean, nothing to complain about.
Actually, one complaint. I found the complaint on the Ruckert touchdown, on one of Ruckert's touchdown on the day. CJ Stroud should have thrown it to Mitch Rossi. Mitch Rossi was wide open in the flat for a touchdown. He padded Ruckert's stats. I that annoyed me. Like, give it to the fullback. Let the fullback score. That was my one complaint.
If that's your only complaint, then we're looking really well.
Then. Yes, that was my only complaint. Stroud had him wide open, too. Wide open right in front of him. And he literally looked at Mitch Rossi, said, no, and just threw it right to Ruckert.
He got his touchdown of the year. He's trying to get Rucker that Mackey Award.
What are your thoughts, Carmen? She just growled when she heard that.
She didn't agree with you, Dan.
She didn't agree? You thought Rucker was the right play? All right, cool. So, I guess she agrees. Her silence is a yes. But, I mean, like it was just a great win. And I feel really good going into Penn State, especially, too, after that ridiculous overtime game Penn State had against Illinois.
That was dumb. I don't like the new rule. I really don't.
I don't like how they like.
Wait.
It feels like PKs.
I get why they have the new rule, but Illinois and Penn State were so bad at introducing the new rule that it just made everybody hate it.
They could not have picked a worse game for that rule to like get implemented. Like that rule would have been a lot more like, I think, well received if that was like a Big 12 shootout game. Like if that was like Oklahoma and Texas, and like they were just making every single 2-point conversion, that would be awesome. But it's the fact that literally it went 9 overtimes, and I think
they only got it. Two or three.
Yeah, two. They made two or whatever. It was ridiculous. I hate how when it's in overtime and you get the stop, everyone has to walk down to the other side of the field. It's just like, just do it in one end zone. Like, it literally feels like PKs, like when the goalies go to the other opposite goal. It literally felt like soccer PKs. Two. It's ridiculous that they're saying it's 9 overtimes when really it was like 5 plays. You know, like it's like that Texas A&M, who was it? Texas A&M, LSU, like 7 overtime game. That was way longer than this, but it's just because, you know, you're running a play that could win the game every time. They make it seem like it's more overtimes, but it's really not. I don't like how it could end a little quicker. I like my overtimes to be a little longer. That was really my complaint about it, though.
I mean, I don't have the game was terrible. Penn State dropped the ball on us for having a top 10 showdown in the shoe this week.
Vintage Penn State. Vintage.
And it sums up their last 2 weeks. I mean, Philly, the fake Philly, the Nittany special where Sean Clifford was wide open until he totally biffed on the ball. And then you lose to Burt Bielema. I mean, come on now. Like,
who just ripped his players the week before, yeah, basically saying his team's not talented.
And then you go into this week, and they don't even know where they're playing at. And they're focused on the team that they just lost to. Like,
they're focused on playing Illinois in the Big House.
Or, like Andrew Lynn said, well, maybe the Illinois game isn't over yet. So, I mean, this is a weird week for the Penn State week. Like, it really is. Like, I'm hyped for this game, but I'm not as juiced up as I usually am for the Penn State game. And it's weird. I should be, like, really juiced up right now, and I'm not.
I mean, I'm still juiced up for it, but I'm more just annoyed that they dropped the ball the week before our game. I wanted that top 10 matchup real bad.
Okay, this is a good Twitter question for our fans, and I'm sure we'll get an astounding
answer.
Answer on this, but like Ohio State in the last year, less than a year, our two biggest rivals. Yes, I am saying Penn State and that team up north are our biggest rivals, obviously, have really dropped the ball on us. One, that team up north completely dodged us in the 2020 season and prevented us to have this stupid debate if Indiana or Ohio State should go to the Big Ten championship. And then this year, freaking Penn State loses in 9 overtimes to the worst Big Ten team in the conference.
I agree, man. Both you are absolutely correct. Both our rivals are dropping the ball on us. Literally, Arthur Sitkowski had 38 yards passing, a pick,
and a broken wrist.
A broken wrist and a 20.7 QBR. Illinois ran for – keep in mind, so Illinois could not pass the ball. Arthur Sitkowski can physically not throw the ball. He broke his wrist too. Like, he is probably the worst quarterback in the country. He's won our anti-Heisman award multiple times. He's literally the worst player in college football, you can argue. Basically, Penn State, knowing that Illinois couldn't throw, they still couldn't stop the run. Illinois ran for 357 yards against them. Chase Brown, 223 yards, a touchdown. Joshua McCray, 142 yards, a touchdown. Arthur Sitkowski only had -8 rushing yards. That's actually a really good day for him. Like, that is not how you're going to succeed. Penn State, I know Clifford got hurt. The defense just had a bad day. It was atrocious.
It was really bad, and I just like it's weird, and the things that James Franklin has said this week.
Dropped that pick. They dropped that pick too. That would have sealed the game. The defense too.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. Don't get me wrong. Penn State's going to be up and ready for this game because
yes,
one, they're still a good football team. They haven't looked good the last 2 weeks, and their defense is legit. I mean, I know they gave up three. Their interior defense and their interior linemen, their front seven is what's really struggling for both teams. They got good, solid DBs. And Penn State's going to be ready. They're going to want to come into the shoe and knock off the Buckeyes. And we got to be ready for it.
I will say, in their two losses, you know, they're lost to Iowa, they're lost to Illinois. They did play hard. They lost by both games by a combined 5 points. So it's less than a field goal each game, basically, when you do the math. So they're playing their opponents tough. So you got to give them credit there. But I mean, Penn State doesn't unfortunately scare me this season, really, just because offensively Clifford's a little banged up. They really can't run the ball well. Noah Kane isn't really, you know, a threat. He's averaging 3.1 yards a carry. Keevon Lee, their other right back, he's all right. He's averaging about 5.1 yards a carry. Jahan Dotson is the real, you know, the big threat on their team. That matchup between Denzel Burke and Dotson's going to be something to watch. That's going to be interesting. But offensively, who else they got? Like Parker Washington, Brenton Strange? That offense just doesn't strike fear into me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they don't. And we don't know what's going on with Sean Clifford. Is he still hurt? What's the deal with him? Jahan Dotson scares me just because he had 3 touchdowns last year, and he's a good wide receiver. He's one of the best in the country. He's all they've got, though.
He's a beast. I will give, Jahan Dotson his flowers. I'll give him his praise. He's a great receiver. The catches he had against Sean Wade were ridiculous. It's going to be interesting to see how Denzel Burke matches up against him, how we're going to try to really counter Jahan Dotson. We can't let him go deep on us. I mean, that's where he always does his damage too. He's probably one of the best deep threats in the nation. He's always like, I could see them right away. If Bryson Shaw's out there, I bet you they're going to throw it deep on Shaw when he's out there. So hopefully Shaw's ready. If not, I think, Lathan Ransom should probably play a little more too at safety. Maybe even get Court Williams going there too after that hit he had. But Shaw better be ready, because like Penn State did against Wisconsin, they victimized Scott Nelson, their safety, victimized him multiple times with Jahan Dotson.
I look for Ohio State to run a lot of cover 3 man or cover 2 man, just to be able to get 2 guys on possibly Dotson.
Yes,
and let the other receivers beat them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, maybe like a guy like Marcus Williamson might be one of those guys. I mean, I could see them using Marcus Williamson maybe a little on him.
Maybe 7 Banks. I mean, Cam Brown or.
Yeah, I really want to see Denzel Burke lock him up. I really do. But I think that might be asking a little too much from Denzel Burke. That's just my opinion. But we'll see what happens.
I think Barnes and Combs are just going to make things easier for him and just, like I said, cover 3, cover 2, high man safety with a in passing situations, that is, and then run him with man coverage.
I agree, Cass. If we flip to the offensive side of the ball, our offense, obviously, we know our offense is unreal. Best offense in the country. My question is, you what?
I don't think we'll have an issue on running the game in the running game. There might be some issues in the passing game, but there's Ruckert, there's Njigba, Olave, hopefully we get G. Scott, Cade Stover, Emeka Buka, Garrett Wilson, Travion Henderson. The list goes on. And as good as the Joey Porter and company are in the back end, I don't think there's enough for Penn State to stop this offense.
I mean, this is Penn State's secondary is probably one of the best secondaries we will play this season. I will give Joey Porter, Jair Brown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great players. They're very impressive. Even their linebackers are all right. Ellis Brooks is probably their best linebacker. Brandon Smith, the stats look good. I don't know how good he is, though, on film, really. I hear mixed opinions about him. Defensive line, though, I think that's where our offense wins. Our offensive line will blow their defensive line off the ball. They don't have that real stereotypical Penn State, stud defensive lineman from
like
what I've
seen. Like a Sharif Miller.
Yeah, or even like an Owe. Like, it's their defensive line doesn't really, impress me that much. Who they got? Like the Arnold, what's his name? Arnold Bikiti. I can't even pronounce his name. He's number 17, the defense end. He has 5.5 sacks on their season. He's probably their best guy.
But he hasn't been up against a Nicholas Petit-Frere or a DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he's their top defensive end. He's only 6'3", 256 pounds. I mean, our offensive linemen are 300 pounds. They're easily 50, 60 pounds more and, 2 to 4 inches taller easily. than their Penn State's top defensive end. So right there, that's a matchup problem. Plus you throw in, obviously, the best running back in the country. And then also, you know, Mayan and Teague, if they're healthy, throw them in there too. Maybe even 11 prior here or there. I mean, we really shouldn't need to use Henderson that much, hopefully. I mean, but if we do have to lean on Henderson, he might break some records this week after what Penn State gave up against that Illinois rushing attack. I would not be shocked if we saw a 250-yard game from Travion Henderson this week. I know that sounds absolutely insane, but if we have to lean on Travion Henderson and just feed him, this is probably the game you want to do that, because I feel like Ohio State mm-hmm. has been holding him back a lot. I mean, he's only getting maybe no more than 10 touches a game right now. So, I mean, this might be a game where if it's close, we're just going to feed number 32 the rock and really, you know, he's going to have his breakout performance.
Yeah, I agree. I think this could be a situation where both Mayan Williams and Travion get going, and it's going to create opportunities for C.J. Stroud. And, I've been saying Ohio State's looking in the high 30s, low 40s in points range. That's my opinion.
I do think the weather could potentially be a factor. There's a chance.
I think last week proved that weather could maybe not be a factor.
Yeah, you know what? That is actually a great point. If the rain, I don't think the rain will be as bad as obviously last week.
But it's only 50% chance right now.
Yeah, I think there'll be some showers. It could be a factor. I doubt it. But it's something to keep your eye on, Cass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think the weather will be a factor. I think Ohio State will be just fine, and I think they win pretty handily, and I think they win pretty big.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my biggest question is, how is the Scarlet out going to look on TV?
I think it's going to look pretty dope. Please wear Scarlet, Ohio State fans. Follow the rules. Even if you have to ask the stupid question on Facebook, even though we've known about the Scarlet out for a month now, wear Scarlet.
Yeah, or like if you don't know, if you're on the fence about an outfit, just post it. And like I did that with my jacket. I wasn't sure if my sweatshirt, my raincoat, my jacket, if it was good enough, because it like half the bottom of it is black. The top's all Scarlet. You'll see that on TV. Consensus is as long as like the top half of your outfit is Scarlet, you're good. Or like if you're wearing a jersey, Scarlet jersey's fine. At least if you're wearing a shirt, make sure the majority of it, like half of it's Scarlet. It's all right if there's some white or black mixed in there. Just do your best to like have the top of your body Scarlet, so when they cut to you on TV, because that's where they're going to see your upper part of the body, it's Scarlet. That's what you'll see if there's a blimp up top, because I'm sure there'll be a blimp, you know, taking aerial video of the game like they always do on college game day, which is a fun fact too, actually, Cass. You know that Ohio is like has the most blimps in the world. Like there's like,
The Goodyear blimps from Akron.
There's like, I think like only 20 total blimps left in the world. And like Ohio has like 6 or 7 of them. So that's wild. So if you see a blimp this weekend, that's rare, actually, apparently. Like blimps are not really that much in existence anymore, except in Ohio. So if you're, you know, at the game, you see the blimp from game day or ABC, consider yourself lucky. Like that's a rare sight.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, just wear Scarlet. I'm wearing Scarlet at home. I'm wearing my Ohio State basketball shorts with my jersey.
I really wanted to wear my white Ohio State like jacket, like a winter jacket, but I'm not. I'm for the Scarlet out. I'm wearing a red one.
Absolutely. So we talked about winning big and scored predictions. I've been saying this all week. I've been thinking 42-17 Ohio State. I don't think Penn State has enough offense, but I really don't.
I'm going to go with 35-21 Ohio State. Big day for number 32. I think he puts up over 200 yards easily as long as he stays healthy. I think Penn State's secondary will hold probably Olave in check. I think they'll really focus on Olave. and maybe, you know, try to double like Garrett Wilson. I think Njigba is going to be the one that's going to have to step up. I think they're going to want to make it Njigba because he's the one that has the most drops on our team. He has 5 drops this season. I believe he leads to actually the Big Ten in drops. I think they're going to make Njigba beat Njigba and Henderson. Obviously, Rucker probably have a big day if Olave and Wilson are covered. I think Penn State will get a touchdown or two. I think Dotson will get one. Maybe their tight end. They'll have a random. Penn State's always known for like having a good tight end step up against us out of nowhere. I think their tight end will somehow get a touchdown. Maybe Clifford rushes one in, or Kane, but 21 points max for Penn State. Ohio State at least 35. So 21-35 is my prediction.
Fair enough. Boy, so let's get them into our fun-filled pick-ems.
Let's go.
Before we do that, basketball season getting ready to come up. Get ready to support the basketball Buckeyes on the hardwood. Did you see the funny Twitter video today of the Chris Holtman went his team to do more? It was pretty cute. It was pretty funny. Chris Holtman acted like he forgot his badge and Zed Key and another player said, no, you can't come in. I don't get the rules, coach. And then the players put the basketball court together and it totally looks like crap. And then EJ Liddell out there on Zamboni for the basketball, ice hockey. It's a pretty cool video. Check it out. If you haven't checked it out, Ohio State Basketball posted it.
That also Jimmy Soto's posted on like TikTok, them doing like a dance or something. It was kind of cringeworthy. Yeah,
the dance is on that little video. Get ready for basketball Buckeyes, man.
I cringed a little bit at the Jimmy Soto's TikTok. I was like,
And by the way, you could get season tickets for every home game for $149 except for Duke.
Yeah, those tickets are already almost $300. I mean, though, Cass, you are right, though. Basketball does start Monday, November 1st. It's an exhibition against Indianapolis, but then real season starts Tuesday, November 9th versus Akron, Niagara, Bowling Green, at Xavier. It's here. I'm excited to see what they do. We'll obviously talk more, I think, after the exhibition game. We'll see how they look. My biggest thing about the exhibition game is just don't lose those because it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's just more of a pride thing. It obviously doesn't affect your ranking or really anything like that. It's just more of a pride thing. Sometimes teams do lose those. It's rare.
Ask Kentucky.
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare, but it's an odd game to lose, and it definitely can leave a really bad taste in your mouth. So just get it done on Monday, Ohio State. Hopefully, you know, some people show up to the game. I think tickets are real cheap. I think they're like $2 or $3 actually to go to the game. So if you're bored Monday night, 7 o'clock, Ohio State, Indianapolis, Value City Arena. Go if you want. I might. I don't know. I'll see what I'm doing Monday. If the tickets are like $2-3, why not?
I'll be in Maryland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. But
all right, let's do our pickups.
Let's get into the picks, baby. All right, let's do this. Absolute monstrous week of college football, Cass. Just monstrous.
In the Big Ten, there's a couple other good games, but in the Big Ten, obviously, we'll get more into that. You know, it's a noon game, but SMU at Houston Saturday at 7 o'clock, same time as the Buckeyes. SMU right now looks like they might be the biggest threat to knocking off Cincinnati. I haven't really watched much at SMU, but keep an eye out for this game. Houston is 6-1 at home. It is Halloween. Maybe I'm going to go with the Cougars with an upset.
I'm going to go with SMU just because they've been hot.
All right, No, we're not doing Oklahoma State, Kansas. I'm sorry, folks.
I got to keep your eye on it. Keep your eye on it. This is going to sound ridiculous. Cincinnati at Tulane. Tulane, you know, they really haven't had a chance to play at home really this season because the Hurricane. They're going to be playing the number 2 team technically at home. They did play Oklahoma hard, Tulane. You got to give them credit. If it's an emotional day at Tulane, I know they're 1-6. Keep an eye on it. That's all I want to say about that.
I keep an eye on is Iowa and Wisconsin. Still don't know what to make from Wisconsin or Iowa. So keep your eye on that one. I don't really want to make a pick 'em, but keep an eye on that one because Wisconsin is at home.
How do you feel about Texas Tech, Oklahoma? I'm just curious about that. Like, what? Okay, this is not a pick 'em. This is more like let's discuss these two games: Texas Tech and Oklahoma, and then unranked Texas Tech at Oklahoma, and then number one Georgia at Florida. Which game do you think has a chance of an upset more? Florida over Georgia or Texas Tech over Oklahoma?
Well, Texas Tech has no head coach. He had been fired, I think, because something to do with COVID shot or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
So I'm going to go with Florida versus Georgia just because it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's a big-time rivalry. Played in Jacksonville. Florida, this could be a game where this can make or break. This can make Florida's season, and an upset over Georgia would be huge. That one's my biggest keeper eye out on.
Question: since it's in Jacksonville and Florida's playing, do you think Urban might make an appearance?
No. Here's why.
Let's hear it.
I'm looking here. Hold on. Urban is currently headed to Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Great. Very good. Very good looking up the logistics on that. That was a dumb question then. That was a real dumb one.
Yeah. I have an upset pick of the week, and I don't know if it is an upset. It still might be just because they're 4-3, but I'm going Texas over Baylor.
I can definitely see that. I like that pick, Cass, honestly. I do agree with that one. I think my upset pick would be Miami over Pittsburgh.
I could see that. I like the quarterback from Pitt, though. But Pickett, I also
– and that receiver, I mean, they have a 1-2 combo. That Pickett and that one receiver, I think, is Addison. He's really good.
We could always hope that Colorado goes into Austin Stadium and beats Oregon, but I doubt that. Kentucky, Mississippi State, that's a game to watch out for. But Auburn, Ole Miss. I'm going to go Ole Miss winning that game. Auburn's a 3-point favorite, but give me Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is real good. I'm definitely picking Ole Miss. That offense is deadly. I don't see Auburn. I can't see Bo Nix keeping up with that. We didn't do the big one, though, Cass. We kind of saved that one.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we saved it. Team Up North versus Sparty at Sparty, big noon kickoff. Two teams with the most boring offenses in the nation. Neither team really has a threat of a passing game. Michigan State has a little bit one with Jack Tuttle. But as I've said it all year, every time I pick against the Wolverines, I look like an idiot. So give me the Wolverines beating Sparty. Very close.
Oh man, this is honestly probably one. I'm not gonna lie, this is probably the hardest pick'em of the year to date. Both teams
are the same.
They literally are. I don't think either team's really that good either. That's the sad part. It's me. I would probably go with that team up north.
They've got more of the mean streak.
They also
have a pretty decent defense, and they didn't allow 31 points to a inferior opponent either.
I also think they have a better running game. I think they have a better identity on offense. Michigan State, they obviously lean
Kenneth
on
Ken, Walker Ken, is a
Kenneth
beast.
Walker. Yeah, they lean on him obviously a lot, but I mean, when it comes to throwing the ball, they're okay at it, but they have a
better passing game than Michigan, though.
They do, but I think the duo of Haskins and Corum is way better than Kenneth Walker. I think Because Corum, efficiency-wise, man, he is arguably one of the best running backs in the nation when you look at his stats when it comes to efficiency.
It's the Cyclops glasses, man.
It is. And then Haskins is a really good back, too. I mean, I guarantee you if Haskins or Corum got the volume and played, you know, were the focal point of the offense like Corum was, I think they would have, you know, similar stats. So I'm going to go with that team up north. I think Sparty Close. Fans, too, have – like they've risen back to such prominence so quickly that they're really, you know, talking a lot of smack. I think that team up north is also salty about last season, how that game ended. Just, you know, Joe Milton just not having a good day at all. Couldn't even name the starting Michigan State linebacker, which like you're supposed to be studying in film. So give me that team up north, which means Michigan State's going to win.
Yeah, I hope Michigan State wins. I honestly don't think they're going to, but every time I pick against that team up north, they end up making me look like a fool.
I mean, what's crazy is if Ohio State wins, we're going to have the winner of this game that's going to be shaping up. It's going to be Ohio State or the winner of this game who's going to win the East and go to play in Indy.
So real quick, after this weekend, what does the top four, because the first initial playoff rankings come out this week, what does the top four look like?
I'll put Georgia one.
I'll tell you what mine are after this.
This is mine. Personally mine.
I'll give you mine personally.
Yeah, let's give our personal ones and then what we think it's going to look like. So go first.
What I think it should be is Georgia 1. I think the winner of Sparty and Team Up North will be 3. I think Oklahoma will be 2. And I think Ohio State will be 4. That's what I think it'll be. Now, my personal, I'm going Georgia, I'm going Ohio State, just because I think we're playing better ball than anybody in the country right now, granted who we played. I'm going Oklahoma, and I'm going Alabama, and then Cincinnati.
Okay, I like it. So I think this is how this is going to go. I think this is how the rankings are going to come out. I think it's going to be Georgia 1. I think it's going to be Cincinnati 2, Ohio State 3, Bama 4, winner of Michigan State 5, Oklahoma 6. That's how I think the rankings would come out. Because Oklahoma, yes, they've won all their games, but they have not looked good. Like they almost lost to Tulane, they almost lost to Kansas. Like I think that the committee would rather just give Ohio State and Bama the benefit of the doubt via the eye test.
My interesting thing is where Oregon will be.
Yes, that is a great point. How I think the ranking should be cast, I think it should be Ohio State 1. I think it should still be Bama 2. I still think Bama is the second best team. I still think they're a top playoff team. Georgia and Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm not big on Cincinnati. I'm sorry. They have a win against Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's not that good.
Cincinnati has been better than Oklahoma, though. I think we all can agree that.
Yes, but Oklahoma still finds ways to win. But I don't care how it happens because Ohio State did it in 02. I think Bama, Ohio State, and Georgia are far better than anybody else in the country. And it's not even close.
Not even close.
Like, it's not.
I think we're much better than Georgia, though. They're the number one team in the country, and their starting defense, quarterback is Stetson Bennett. At least Cincinnati is Desmond Ridder. They're starting Stetson Bennett.
But that defense is legit.
And that's great. That's great until Stetson Bennett comes into the game and throws five picks against a top five team. Like,
it's Alabama.
Yeah. Come on. Like, let's be real here. The defense is great. A defense can only get you so far.
I think Cincinnati's ceiling is four, and I think they'll get it early. It might be this week, but after teams start coming together later in the year, they're going to drop out of the top four.
If Cincinnati wins out, they'll be in the playoff. I just don't think they're going to win out. I think they're going to slip up. They're not that good enough of a program where they're not going to slip up.
They should have lost the Navy.
That's a great point. They did almost lose the Navy. Bring back to the Georgia man. I can't get this off my head. Like, literally, if Georgia – week one, when Georgia beat Clemson – like, yeah, the defense was great. But, like, we got to also talk about how much of a liability that Georgia offense is. They didn't score. They scored the same amount of points as Clemson's offense. It literally was just DJ Uiagalelei threw a pick six to Georgia. That's what won it. Like, if Georgia's offense puts up 3 points against Alabama, they're going to lose that game by 35. They're going to lose to Ohio State by 35. They would probably still honestly lose to Oklahoma and Cincinnati. I think Georgia's so overhyped. And they've just gotten by. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if – keep your eye on it – if they get exposed by Florida. I think Georgia are frauds. The defense is great, but that offense, man, you got to have some balance. That offense is not good.
It is not. And Azir White's okay. I thought George Pickens would have a better year. And that's just my opinion. I like Georgia. I like their defense a lot. But I do want to see what everybody else wants to see, Ohio State's offense against that defense. I think America wants to see that.
I think you're absolutely right. It's just, I mean, I will give them credit. They have the tight end.
I was talking to a guy at work about the first initial couple years of the college football playoff, the chairman of those 2 years, mm-hmm. the first couple years. I thought the first 2 years they got the playoffs initially right, in my opinion. And he always stressed about no matter what you did at the beginning of the season, it's how you finished. Yeah, those losses can hurt, but it's how you're playing at the end of the year and how you're finishing. Yeah. Ohio State was far better team than TCU and Baylor. Right now, on paper, yeah, Oregon beat Ohio State. This is my answer to Oregon fans. And I respect Oregon. I really do. But Ohio State looks far better than Oregon right now. And that's why the committee and the media are hyping up the Buckeyes over Oregon. You got to get it through your head. Ohio State looks like the better team right now. And if they both suit up again, Ohio State's winning that game. And I'm telling you what, and I respect Oregon as a program. I really like Mario Cristobal. But if somehow, some way, Ohio State gets snubbed from the playoffs, I want Oregon in the Rose Bowl so we can have that rematch and beat them.
I would love to see a rematch against Oregon. I would love to see us and Oregon make the playoff. I really would. I would love to get a rematch against those guys because I do still have a sour taste in my mouth from that game, just because of the execution. It was just one of those games where you look back on it and it's such a head scratcher. It's like one of those infamous games that you're just like, lose that?
What Oregon fans don't understand, we still put up 600, almost 600 yards of total offense.
Yeah, we literally just didn't finish. We didn't finish on defense. We didn't finish scoring drives. We didn't finish catches. We didn't finish like assignments. It was just the team didn't finish. And I think that's just as a result of it was only week two and it was a big time opponent and we just simply were not fully ready.
Awesome. Yeah, you're right. Completely. You're completely right.
I think I think these past three games, the Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, has really helped Ohio State get right and, you know, fix, you know, work out some kinks in the offense and defense. And now I feel this team is firing on all cylinders. We're playing the best. We are playing the best football in the nation, I think, right now, offensively and defensively. We're a great defense too. So I'm really happy with the team right now.
Absolutely. I am too.
And interception. Aaron Rodgers just threw a Hail Mary to end the halftime. 10-7 Packers.
Yeah, my 1.2 points for Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I start Cobb too. Not my best, but you know what? It was the best option I had, sadly.
Yeah, it's okay though.
But I mean, Cass, before we wrap up here, any final thoughts?
Check out Fairfield County Sports Network this week. I have the biggest blowout of the year. So many big names going to be in this. Listen to this list of names. Tyler Gillison, a Cincinnati commit. C.J. Doggett, a Cincinnati commit. Dakari Frazier, a Ball State commit. Kobe Asamoah, Rutgers commit. And Kobe Gorman, who is also undecided, along with Sonny Styles. The Pickerington Central Tigers, I will be doing play-by-play. Hopefully find a color analyst for this game so we can get the first round of the OHSAA playoffs underway as the Pickerington Central Tigers set to try to make a state final opportunity again. Hopefully a third state championship in 5 years for the Tigers. Yeah, check that out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I will have the call Pickerington versus number 2 seed Pickerington versus number 15 seed 2-7 Grove City. By the way, if you look in the OHSAA playoffs, Oak Hill Academy is 0-10 playing a number 1 seed in Region 4. The 16 teams making the playoffs, especially in D1 when there's only 16 teams in the regions, it's kind of hard.
Definitely hard.
So, yeah, check that out. Big game. All those recruits that I named off, especially the most important one, Sonny Styles. Will he become a Buckeye eventually? We hope to see.
Hopefully, or if not a Buckeye, just go to a MAC school. Don't go to like another Big Ten school. That's all we ask.
He's being recruited he's the number one recruit in Ohio.
I know.
He's safety, and he's being recruited by Florida State, Clemson, Notre Dame. I think his final two will be Ohio State and Notre Dame because his brother Lorenzo is at Notre Dame right now.
Yeah, that's going to be tough then if his brother's already there, but.
His dad was a star here at Ohio State. So
true. It's a big recruiting weekend. I mean, a lot of recruits are going to come to the Penn State game too. I know a lot of guys are coming in. So hopefully Ohio State gets a boom or two this weekend or next week. But I mean, Cass, that really does it for me. Any other words before I wrap it up here?
Nope. Go Bucks and beat the Lions.
Absolutely. Go Bucks. Beat Penn State, and make sure you wear scarlet.
And happy Halloween, everybody.
Trick or treat.